Welcome to the Mana Pool, the Geek.io Dungeons and Dragons 5th Edition Live Play Podcast.
Hello and welcome back to the Mana Pool, the Live Play Geek.io Podcast, where we do some role-playing games. This time around, we're still in our open legend. I, of course, am CJ, the almost player-killing Wolfman. Joining me, as always, slightly worse for wear, Rachel.
Keep the dirty bird away from me.
Misses every time except for when it's a board and roll.
Yeah. Hello.
Executioner style, Carrie.
Hello.
And there's that dude with the spear, Felix.
Hey, how's it going?
And the DM host with the most is, of course, Josh.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back, everyone. Glad you could all make it. Hope your day was okay.
Yeah, ours was all right.
Because these guys had a bit of a rough night. Or at least some really bad nightmares.
Dun, 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 dun.
So when last we left our intrepid adventurers, they had made their way across the plains, dodged a, well, metaphorical bullet anyways, with some raiders off to the north.
The raiders didn't. Sorry.
Different kind of raiders, dear. Made their camp for the night on their way to the legendary wooding town of Malzbazbek, and unfortunately the night did not go so quietly for them. We had some of the Crestfallen, a sort of counterfoil to Kai Silvermoon's semi-bestial people, and it did not go so smoothly for our dear heroes. There were some tense words said, some teleportation mishaps, a few faces clawed off that weren't intended to be clawed off, and one damn good samurai save.
Yeah.
So today on our delightful episode for you folks, a little bit behind the veil piercing here, the party was awarded with one experience point for their efforts over the course of the night and the previous day. Open Legend system works a little bit differently. We'll go a little more into that when they actually get their full level, but Open Legend does have a more gradual power rise than other RPG systems. It's not like getting that level instantly sees things jump up out of the blue. Every time you gain an experience point, you get a small increase in your oomph, and which is nice. It gives it a more natural feel to the increase of power of a character instead of just out of the blue, hey, I'm much stronger now.
Level 4, I actually get my spells.
Right. God, thank God we're not doing that. But for today, we are going to open up with a bit of a, well, let's call it a montage, jump cut, exposition, fueled. You need a montage. When they wake up in the morning with their wounds healed up and bandaged in, boo-boos kissed, and assurances that, no, you're not a monster, we still love you. Mm-hmm. The party is free to continue their trek onward to Mozbeck, and it's going to be pretty quiet for the rest of the way there, mostly because of the fact that they are traveling a little too closely to a place called Zan's Lament. And that is an area of the continent of Alterin, where two of the ley line nodes got blown out by an ancient conflict, and so there isn't a whole lot of anything good there anymore. And so a lot of things tend to steer pretty well clear of it, making traveling through that general area, well, either boring or refreshingly relaxed, depending on your outlook of it. And so after several days on the road, I'm sure our intrepid adventurers are quite happy to see the sprawling woods of Mozbeck before them and smoke drifting between the trees from the village neatly tucked inside.
I don't think I have ever been so happy to see a city.
Yes, let us get into town and see if we can't find somewhere to lodge for the evening.
Uh, Let's.
So the village itself is actually a bit into the woods themselves as sort of a natural defense mechanism slash making it a little easier for the lumberers of Mosbach to get to the trees they need for their trade. But there are established paths into the village itself, so you're just going to enjoy a nice little woodland stroll as you make your way through. You can't see too much of the village from the outside, mostly just the smoke of assorted chimneys drifting up through the canopy. I'm seeing two copies of the charcoal-skinned Tomb Raider. That's a bit odd.
Shadow clones!
Just trying to get my HP to update in my token. But it's doing that.
Odd. Anyways.
Freya Ruto.
Who drew on the map?
I don't know how to get rid of that.
I just did. Put your crayons down, kids. As you make your way towards the village, you hear the hustle and bustle that you expect to hear from an inhabited woodland area. You have your assorted songbirds, the rustling of small critters through the underbrush. You can, in the distance, hear the echoing cracks of axes against wood and calling out to falling timber from the lumbermen off at their work. And you'll occasionally spot, you know, the slightly more unusual sight of things like children playing out in the woods, things of that nature. Because, I mean, let's fair, you're living in a remote woodland village, mostly surrounded by massive hills, mountains, and trees. There's not going to be a whole lot to entertain a small child.
Reminds me of when I was a child.
Don't you mean...
Hooray, oh. Sticks and rocks.
No, child. Was human, remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he did tell us that.
Give him a little space. It's a lot to bear in mind.
And that's the kind of sound that came out of Fregul.
Calabras, your armor is squeaking.
It does that.
You sound more like a mouse when you do that.
It's a punishment for him.
Squeak, 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 squeak.
Squeak, squeak, squeak.
But, yeah, so are you guys just going to head to the village proper? Are you going to have a look around in the woods first? What are we going to do here?
I think we should get some more information about this specter or wraith that we're trying to find.
And secure lodging as well.
Yes, we are going to need to set up a point of a base of operations while we are here.
Yeah, do we want to go see if there's some kind of... I mean, it's a village, so I guess there's more of a, like... Well, it's a work camp, right?
Mm-hmm. It's a village that grew up around a work camp, basically.
So is there, like, a foreman or someone that would normally be in charge?
Mayor Foreman? Sheriff Mayor Foreman?
Sheriff Mayor Deputy Foreman, thank you.
Mr. Sheriff Mayor Foreman?
Sir?
Doctor.
Reverend.
God damn it.
The good Reverend Dr. Sheriff Mayor Foreman III.
Esquire, because he's also a lawyer.
It's actually identical sextuplets playing a really elaborate prank.
I would love that. Oh, God, my eyes are killing me.
Oh, come on, Felix, you have lovely eyes.
Oh, God. Anyway.
Yeah, so, I'm going to kind of, like, as I am in the area, kind of take a look around to see if anybody is paying any kind of close attention to me or freaking out around me.
Well, I mean, they are looking at you a little.
Well, yeah,
reserved because you are a wolf walking on two legs, like he thinks he's people.
Yes,
I'm going to join. Hi.
I'm just going to continue walking along. I'm like looking for something that says like foreman or chief.
No, I'm sure there wouldn't be four men that are chief. It's usually just one.
I'm going to look for any kind of an inn. Or what passes for one around here.
That's going to be relatively easy to find. The town's really not that big at all. And most of the structures are either going to be towards the back, obviously houses, or towards the main road, mostly taverns, the blacksmith, things of that nature.
All right. Taverns are usually good places of information, so.
I was thinking. Never mind. I'm stupid. Don't listen to me.
Speak your mind, friend.
Oh, it's okay.
Okay.
Kai shrugs.
Fine, don't see if I care.
Exactly. I ask once, if you continue to be a jerk, then F off.
Wait, how was I being a jerk?
Moving along. I have already attempted to kill one of my friends, I do not want to emotionally wound another.
I don't understand what's going on here, guys.
We're just going to call that a wash and continue on with the narrative.
Exactly.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Anyway.
So, yeah. Locate a tavern that seems to be pretty busy.
Well, I mean, the only tavern in town is not going to be too terribly busy at this time of day, because even though you are seeking lodging for the night, it's still late morning, and all of the menfolk are out doing their lumbering.
Out doing the lumbering.
Which means it's mostly old people, women, and children in town at the moment, and most of the women and old people aren't heavy drinkers.
Well, I don't know that. Well, I guess you would know that, right? You are the
There may be something.
I made a joke there, but nobody really picked up on it.
I did. I'm just tired. He didn't say anything about the kids.
Yes. There may be something if we can catch the ear of an elder of the village about this, since this has apparently been haunting this village. And I'm saying this all out loud, of course. This spirit has been haunting this village for generations. Maybe one of the elders of the village is somebody we would want to consult.
Is there like some form of worshiping building? Like a chapel?
Not so much. I mean,
wood for the wood god.
Well, wood for the wood god, and most of the spiritualism in the continent as a whole is more of a reserved thing and a very personal thing. So there's not really much of a call for large centers of worship. You're more likely to find small-ish shrines in personal homes than actual
so we're kind like, of looking grand like center. Amish community where they have homes in their worship.
Or like a Buddhist family altar sort of thing.
Yeah.
More like that, yes.
I'm pretty much looking for where the older generation like to hang out.
Well, I mean, most of the elderly are either going to be keeping to their homes. You might find one or two of them in/running the tavern. But unless you want to take the link route and just start barging into people's homes and asking them questions.
Yeah!
No, let's go to the tavern and see what
let's have the bear and the wolf start breaking into people's houses and see what happens.
I'm okay with this.
Yeah, let's go to the tavern to see if we can get any information from the barman.
Alrighty, sounds like a plan.
Yep, into the tavern.
You head into the tavern. It is so ever delightfully named the Dull Axe.
Alright.
Because, you know, lumberjack humor.
Yes.
What do you do with a dull axe? Drink your troubles away.
Exactly. Alright, who is manning this establishment? Or womaning. Don't want to be sexist.
Who is personing this establishment?
Yes.
Who is establishing this establishment?
Yes. Who runs Botha
Town?
That's what I'm asking.
God damn it.
The proprietor of the establishment.
That's a word I'm looking for.
An older but not elder man. He looks like he was probably a lumberjack until something happened, given he only has one good hand. Looks like it may have been crushed by falling timber or mauled by a trap or something of that nature.
Listen, when somebody cried out timber.
You can probably infer that.
And I'm familiar enough with timber as a wolf.
So yeah, I was waiting for the Skyrim reference.
No, he didn't take an arrow to the knee.
Did he take a log to the knee?
He took a log to the knee, yeah.
Took a log to the hand, yeah. But he's using the stump hand to clean out the inside of the pints and whatnot, because it's a pretty good tool for the job at that point.
Yeah, it's really useful.
Put a rag around it, get in all the crevices. It works out pretty well for him, it seems. He doesn't do the cheap bar thing and spit into the mug before cleaning, so you know it's actually going to be clean.
Well, that's good.
Right. And he does look up as you guys enter, and his eyes sort of narrow a little bit, and then he just kind of shrugs.
I sigh because I know what's going to happen next, and kind of cast a sideways glance towards Fragul.
Hello!
I wince.
How is your day going
you're the
at this?
First bear I've seen talk this week.
How is things going at this fine establishment?
Well, it's the only bar in a town of lumberjacks during the morning, so not as well as can be expected.
All right, we've just finished. We've just come into town, and
I can see that.
And we're kind of looking for some information.
Information?
I take it we're not the only ones you've seen here.
I'm guessing both Calabras and Kai at that point actually chuckle out loud at that.
I agree to this.
Yeah, you're not the first person I've talked to this week, and quite frankly, I can probably save you a lot of time. If you're chasing after the Phantom, you're going to want to go out in the woods looking for it. You're probably not going to find anything. That'll be 3 pulse marks for the beer.
Well, we haven't ordered beer yet.
I've done this a few times.
We have to pay the man for his trouble. Somebody order a beer.
What's the strongest stuff
I'll
you have?
Beer.
No,
not you.
Food.
What?
I just say food.
That food I can do.
I go sit in the back corner and just kind of pout.
I'll give you 10 if it's worth my while. I'm real hungry.
I'll go over and pat Amy on the shoulder.
I kind Amy, of I kind of mauled a friend of mine, and it kind of takes a lot out of a person. So, you know, I'm real hungry. I just kind of want to.
You know, attempted murder really, really brings you down.
Exactly.
Kind of makes you a little hungry.
I just want to point out that you tried to maul my face, and you won't even let me have beer. That's not cool, dude.
That's pretty messed up.
For the record, my dear, I did not tell you no. A beer, a child sized beer for my friend, please.
Yay!
I grew up in towns like this. I understand that there are child sized beer cups.
And bring me your largest cup with your strongest concoction in it.
Red wine, if you have it.
Dried meats and a glass of water.
Cooked meats and water.
And yes, food.
Specifically dried. Specifically dried.
Specifically cooked.
No.
Specifically dried. Specifically cooked.
So help me God, if I see a banana chip in there, somebody's gonna roll.
How specific do you want it? Medium, medium vague.
God.
Slight hunch. The barman will take your orders, relay them back towards the kitchen, collect your coin, bite into a few of them just to check before pocketing them, and you do get your orders in a pretty timely fashion, considering you are currently some of the only people in the establishment.
Yay.
Okay.
So I have a question where it's in character. So these people who come hunting for this phantom or ghost or phantasm, do they usually just like give up, come back here, and then go home?
That's usually the song and dance around here. Every once in a while, someone will fly the coop because they just don't like the life here anymore, or they think they ran into something in the woods because, oh, I don't know, they ate the yellow mushrooms, ran into a tree, thought they were being attacked. I've heard a million different stories at this point.
Is there anywhere in the forest that most of these stories start coming from? Where exactly do the yellow mushrooms grow, and about where do they get in the forest before people start coming back because they're either bored or any of those previously mentioned methods?
Well, the stories come from all over the forest. I mean, that's part of what makes it a phantom. Well, it shows up every which way. The mushrooms mostly grow towards the base of the mountains, so most people don't really know what they do, because we try not to disturb the rockheads too much with our work.
I describe the man who initially we met. And do you know of a person of this descript?
Stops to think for a moment, cleaning the mug, checking it out. It does genuinely look like he's actually thinking and not just trying to waste time on trying to get you to buy more drinks or anything of that nature. It does look like he's considering it seriously. Based on that description and, well, let's see who's been missing lately. That'd probably be Tarvin.
Does Tarvin have any family that still resides here that we could ask some questions of?
He and his wife moved out not too long ago, so that's probably how you ran into him.
Yes.
But his brother's still in town, but I don't think you're going to get too much out of him. He don't talk much.
Oh?
Well,
what, did he lose his tongue?
Well, Tarvin says the Phantom took it, but your mileage might vary. Could have been a different kind of mushroom. Could have licked a trap and lost it that way.
Why
So, on our way out here, we ran into some, I guess you would call them wood bandits.
Yeah, those fools are still out there.
Well, well, were out there.
Oh, that to avoid a hard day's work. Well, I guess that's your lot. It's no skin off my nose.
I guess in said bandits used to be employed here.
Well, they were never really employed here. They, well, bandits all seem to come from the same walks of life, I've noticed. They don't really want to work too hard for their money. That's why they turn to kill and rob and things like that. It's, relatively speaking, easier work than swinging an axe and felling trees all day. But, probably some of the first batch I've seen in a long while that quit before the first day was out, so.
We also ran into, what was the name of those, guys, Kai?
I state their name that I can't remember because I may or may not be drinking.
Crestfallen.
Crestfallen.
I don't know if, have you mentioned it in character?
I can imagine that was certainly a why the hell did you freak out, and I explained it during the montage of us getting back to sleep and everything.
Just making sure.
So we got sure attacked by three crestfallen.
Crestfallen, what the?
They look kind of like me, but like attacking people instead of actually being
people.
Parts of civilization.
Oh, those things. Yeah, we get them from time to time. They try breaking into the smokehouses, things like that. Usually, good couple swings of a sword or an axe will see them on their way. They don't tend to bother us too much.
One got obliterated. We obliterated one, and the other one's just kind of like fell over.
Good on you, I suppose. They weren't too much of a trouble for us, but thank you anyways, I guess.
So, when did these, like, stories of the Phantom started popping up? Is it just like...
the Wailing Phantom of Mosbeck. Well, I'm pretty sure if he were still alive, my grandpappy could tell you stories that he heard when he was a little kid.
Ah, so it's kind of like one of those local legends.
It's the Wailing Phantom of Mosbeck. It's a story mothers tell their children to keep them inside at night so they don't get eaten by a wolf. The four-legged kind.
I nod. No, I understand. I've heard it more than once.
It's the thing that keeps children in at night. It's the thing that makes naughty boys behave, because otherwise the Phantom's going to come and stealth them away in the night. That's all it's ever been. That's all it's ever going to be. I've been living in this town my whole life. My father's been living here his whole life. My wife was born in this town. Our kids were born in this town. Sometimes the shutters rattle at night. Sometimes the wind sounds particularly bad coming through the branches. But that's all it is. And that's all you're going to find. And if you honestly think you're going to find something more than that, then I hope you find it worth your time for the entertainment.
What, when he lived here, was... Name? Was
Tarvin.
Tarvin, was he particularly known to be a yellow man?
Tarvin, no, he was a good hard worker. He did probably a little too bold for his own good. He did like to go a little closer to the mountains than the others. Yeah, all them boys, they got it from their daddy's side. They liked the wood there best, they said. They said it was good, hardy wood. And it was pretty good quality, I'd say. You know, it wasn't as harvested as often as some of the rest of the woods, so maybe they were onto something there, but their whole family always seemed to adhere a little more rigidly to the tales of the Phantom than the rest of us.
Now, I know he has no tongue anymore, but, you know, would it be, you think, be possible to speak with Tarvin's brother?
I mean, I can tell you where his house is at if you'd like to go talk at him.
Given how it was Tarvin who, you know, brought us here, I would at least like to let his brother know that he's still around and still kicking.
I mean, I suppose if you want to do that, I'll tell you where the place is. Who knows? Maybe the boy will take you to their stomping grounds, let you see where they were always running into their phantom.
Fair enough. I appreciate it.
Really hope we didn't come here to waste time.
Well, you haven't wasted my time, as he jingles the coins in his pouch.
I toss him a couple other ones, just, you know, for being so upfront with us.
Yeah, I thank him for having a conversation with us.
Well, they ain't got much better to do this time of day. Most of the men won't be coming back for a few hours yet. That's when, you know, we'll really get cooking and turning out the brews. But if you need a place to stay while you're out hunting spooks, I'll make sure the wife turns down the beds real nice, and you're more than welcome to stay here. Your coin's good, so
yeah, appreciate
I have
it.
No qualm
yeah,
with you.
Much appreciated. Yeah. Now,
yeah, we'll be back later. I promise you that one. I would love to go speak with Tarvin's brother, though.
So let's go put our stuff down and head out.
Our investigating heads.
Break out your magnifying glass and cloaks.
I am going to bring with me what looks like a mostly empty journal and a pen.
And the barman does inform you that Tarvin's brother's name is Irvin.
Irvin, all right.
And that his house is a little more towards the less populated edge of town, considering he is what sounded like, in nicer words, the village crazy man at this point.
Yep.
not too many people want him around themselves or their kids. And we're gonna break the immersion for just a second here as I consult the other GM here who has used Roll20 a lot more than I have. How the hell do you move between maps?
When you do the little drop down in the up top of the screen, there'll be a little page thingy. Yep, you drag the banner that says players and plop it on the map you want us to be on, and sometimes it'll work.
Hey, look at
what. Hey, yours work. What the fuck?
Holy good God, that's a big map. Okay, it's not that big.
One question is, where the hell did your tokens go?
You have to redrop them.
Ah.
Yep, they do not carry over.
Uh-oh. Oh, so shit.
Were we
Oh, shit.
Yeah, the large building there is basically the tavern, so you don't necessarily have to drop your tokens at this point in time, because you're not going to run into too much in town, and it even though it looks massive, it's really not all that huge at all. The what appears to be massive walls around the little town here are really just the spiked top wood picket kind of thing.
Gotcha.
It's more for keeping out animals than anything else. The gates are big enough to allow the four-legged dumb kind, CJ.
The actual animals, not the people who are part animal, part people.
I look at Raul.
the gates on either side are wide enough to get the carts of lumber through. You can see the lumber yard off in the distance by the clouds of sawdust coming off of it. Smell of pitch and whatnot in the air and other things they use for lumber treating and stuff that I don't research for things like this because you don't need that much immersion in your game.
I am absolutely in love with the smell of this place. Like, this place actually is kind of a happy place for me. Like, it reminds me of the better parts of when I was at home. Before, you know, I turned into a wolf.
So you head out of the tavern and into the town proper to do a little bit of sleuthing?
Yes.
Well, as you make your way towards town and to Irvin's home, you will notice that you do draw a bit of attention. Small children do try to follow you and just, you know, stare and gawk and ask awkward child questions, whereas mothers do try to herd them away. You will see a few doors and shutters shut at your passing, because as you might imagine, in a small town like this, you guys kind of stand out a little bit.
Yes.
A bit.
I actually entertain the children's questions. Well, very honestly, and to the point where sometimes it's brutal and probably upsetting to some of the children, especially their mothers.
Well, they're not really... Most of what they're asking is, are you a dog? Can I pet you?
No, I'm a wolf, only gently. Don't touch the tail.
How can you talk? You know, things like that, because they just don't understand that you are not anything more than an actual forest wolf standing on its hind legs wearing a kilt.
No,
and they're too young for racism.
Right? And no, unlike how I treat, you know, adults and stuff like that, I'm actually being very upfront and, you know, playful with the kids and, you know, actually discussing and having, you know, good times with them.
And a few of the parents do seem to appreciate that you are at least entertaining their questions, but they're still relatively quickly, you know, herded away to leave you guys alone, because even though these are more or less backwater hicks, they're not so redneckish that they can't see, oh, hey, these are adventurers. We should probably let them do whatever they're here to do.
And I just nod at the parents, you know, the ones who, you know, smile and thank me for talking to their kids and stuff like that. I just kind of nod and
out of character. Well, I tell you what, Cletus, I done seen everything. I see a wolf walking on its hind legs. I don't even know what is going
is
on.
Is that a bear with a sword?
I tell you, these times are changing.
What we didn't see is that right before we walked in, they were saying something like, it was one of those, what do you mean close up shop and move? You know, that sooner would we see a wolf walking on its hind legs.
Yeah, sooner I'd see a bear talking.
And that childhood curiosity is pretty widespread.
also, hey, look at that black woman.
Not quite, because that is pretty subtly racist. But subtly. It is general inquiries to things like, you know, why is your skin so dark for Velfreya?
Oh,
how do you move in that armor? Your hair is really pretty. Can I swing on your arms, Mr. Bear?
Oh, God.
This is fun.
I playfully bap some of them with my long sleeves.
If you look down,
be careful with that, because they will start trying to stick their heads up.
Well, I don't actually... The sleeves are not armed at the moment. They're just normal sleeves.
They're armless sleeves.
They're not armless sleeves. The arms are just not armed.
You look really close inside, you can see, you know, your ancestors. It's great.
All right, so make a pretty beeline to his house after, you know, playing town circus.
More or less. They didn't even have to pay for you guys.
I quickly subtly duct tape three horns to Raoul's head. It's a tricorn bear.
So majestic.
Not again.
This glue's going to take weeks to wash off.
Four only! How much did we spend at the tavern?
Yeah,
you
it's like...
You too can pet the tricorn bear!
Man, it
but,
took...
But it's pretty quiet around Irvin's house.
I'd be very happy if you did that, CJ.
There's not a whole lot around it. It looks like he keeps, you know, a couple of goats and a few pigs, probably for necessities. Looks like there's a chicken coop, because he probably doesn't get out too much. The house looks not necessarily falling apart, but old.
Knowing how... Yeah, F it. I go knock on the door.
wait, friend.
Nope. Let's...
Knocking on the door.
I go knocking on the door.
Okay.
That was a nice knock sound effect.
Thank you. It's almost as though I have a wooden desk.
I'll gesture to the rest of the potentially scary-looking people to wait right here and join Kai at the door.
I was going to do subtlety, but I'm like, you know what? F it. That hasn't worked for me so well lately, so I'm just going to go knock on the door.
It takes a few moments, but eventually a man does answer the door. He looks like a slightly younger, but at the same time much older version of the man you met in the bar in Perrin.
Hello, sir. Do you have time to speak about our Lord and Savior? That is not a character. That is not a character. That is not canon.
Obviously. And when he does open the door and see the lot of you very unusual people standing there at his doorstep, his very tired and sort of drained-looking expression actually brightens up for an instant. And he excitedly makes a few because, again, unfortunately, he can't really talk, yes. But for a moment, he sort of forgets that looking at you all.
He seems I will
offer the journal and the pen.
He seems to grin, like, ear to ear, and as he's accepting the pen, kind of, like, does a wave point, is like, ah, you.
Kind of rest curious. He turns to Elfrey and asks, how did you know that's what he would want?
The barkeeper told us he was mute. How else will we communicate with him?
Tarvin sends his regards.
Okay, I didn't actually hear that.
He's already very hurriedly scribbling on the blank pages.
I bow my head and say, Tarvin sends his regards.
He nods and he waves for you to follow him into the house, and he's still just scribbling away. His penmanship is absolutely terrible, but...
Yeah, of course.
I'm a scholar, I've read worse.
It's probably like reading my son's writing, so I understand. I've got it. This.
There are enough objects of decent mass and size, be they barrels, stools, chest of drawers, that sort of thing, that you can all pretty much arrange yourself relatively comfortably in his otherwise fairly small home. It's pretty much a one-room deal, kitchen, bedroom, dining area, entertaining room, dance hall, all in one.
Wow, a dance hall too. That's
it's
great.
It's a party place.
Something that is of note for those who are particularly keen of eye and perception and whatnot is obviously one of the things this man has taken to since, you know, basically being regarded as the village crazy man is, even though a lot of it does look old or older, and some of it is fresher, there are absolutely amazing wood carvings everywhere.
I go and I'm like, oh wow, these are some great carvings.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do all these yourself?
Uh-huh.
May I touch? Are they like figurine size, or are they like...
Some of them are larger, like the bear bookends, things like that. But everything that he has carved, even right down to the utensils sitting on the table from whatever he had. They're all incredibly well made and even just detailed for the sake of being detailed, because obviously he doesn't have a whole lot else to do.
I'm going to take a closer look at some of those carvings while he's writing, see if I can notice any hints of local folklore or any sort of influences on his work.
Josh, do any of them look familiar?
I mean, there's a lot of animals, you know, traditional woodland type creatures, the pigs and the goats and the
pig goats,
the chickens from outside, the wolves in the woods, the bears,
the omis.
Although most of you probably have never seen one, there is one sitting on the mantle that is of the creature that is commonly regarded as the earth shell. And that is the people that live in the mountains that Mossback makes its home at the foot of. And they are pretty much known throughout the continent as being very strange, very rocky, and very much not liking the idea of company in the least.
Hmm. You've met an Earthshell friend.
He flips a few pages and scribbles something quickly on that and makes a kind of "we'll get to that" sort of gesture and goes back to the small novel he's writing where he started. But yeah, once he is done scribbling like, haha, a madman, he turns the book back around and, you know, nudges it towards you across the table where he sat down at.
Okay, I will take it and read it out loud.
He's, for a mute man, very well spoken. Even though his penmanship is bad, he very clearly outlines that, you know, who he is, what everyone in town thinks of him. He understands that you are adventurers, that for one reason or another, and in his case he is particularly glad it is because of his brother, that you have sought him out in relation to the Wailing Phantom and would adore helping you in not only, you know, solving whatever it is that you came here to investigate, but hopefully in that nature, helping to clear his name.
To clear your name? From just the madness or something else?
Scribble, 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 scribble. I didn't get this good at wood carving, being the life of the party of the village, because everybody wants to knock on my door and have afternoon tea.
Fair.
Nobody wants to talk to the tongueless village crazy man.
I don't think you're crazy.
Thank you, dear.
So, yes, we came over because we've heard stories of a
There's a phantasm running around.
Yes, there's a phantom running around.
Yes, the Wailing Phantom of Mossback. It's most consider it just the local boogeyman. The monster that sleeps under the bed, the thing that comes to sweep you away in the night when you're naughty, the thing that keeps you out of the woods, out of danger, safe at home, tucked in your bed.
And you were there that day.
I've seen it, yes, and it was not because of mushrooms.
I didn't think it was.
They like to blame things on those mushrooms, don't they? They're not very smart.
You haven't tried those mushrooms.
And you won't, will you, dear?
But...
No. No.
He sets the book aside for the moment, and he goes to one of the chests sitting around the room, and he opens it up and pulls out a large carving and sets it down on the tabletop. It's arguably one of the more detailed carvings that he has done, and it is a very large figure, like the size of a small child in wood, basically.
Yeah, that's huge.
At least a foot tall, if not 2 feet tall, carved. Not just for the level of detail present, but it also seems to impart a sense of scope when you look at the figures he has carved of some of the other townspeople. Like, there is a carving of the barkeep, there is a carving of his brother. It looks exactly like him, by the way. But this figure that he sets on the table is, by comparison, an absolutely massive, hulking thing with only the barest shape of a humanoid, because it is covered in head to toe in assorted hides and furs and bits of cloth, and it's where a head would be is covered in a very deep hood.
Out of character, I imagine all three of us doing that in perfect unison.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. I cast a look over at both Velfreya and Calibris. Just not saying a single thing. I'm mostly looking at Calibris, to be honest.
It doesn't look like anything I've seen before.
And I apparently not discern anything that I would have studied that might be related to this.
So where did this I already asked the question where this story came from. It's just like just something that's just been going on forever.
Yeah, it's from everything you guys have gathered based on talking to Tarvin in Pern and talking to the barsman here, this is the local Sasquatch, Mothman, Wendigo, whatever cultural chupacabra, whatever cultural, you know, entity you want to attribute to. This has been here at least as long as we have, if not longer.
Okay. All right.
I offer the journal back. How did the earth shells fit into this?
How so?
Well, you've met them. They're very reclusive and difficult to find, especially for humans.
I saw one once when I was out felling trees. It fell the wrong way, crossed the line we don't cross, into the mountains proper, so to speak. It was a larger tree. And it showed up out of nowhere, popped out of the ground like a damn rabbit. And it was only there for a moment, but in that moment, the earth heaved up under that tree and flipped it completely the other direction.
Yeah, Earthshell's not necessarily known for their hospitality. Be lucky that's as far as you got.
We all count ourselves lucky that we can still live here in their shadow.
Great
beast.
So your favorite logging spot is very near the line, then?
Well, yes. The trees grow quite large there because nobody cuts them. They are closer to the lines, so they grow hardier, denser. The wood is harder, stronger, more resistant to rot.
Better, faster, stronger.
It's the best wood there is, but nobody cuts it for fear of what I saw.
I see.
Have you seen this more than once?
The Earth Shell or the Phantom?
The Phantom, sorry.
Once each.
Is there any particular rhyme or reason to when it feel when people think it shows up in town?
We hadn't seen it much at all in years and years until recently. When my brother saw it was several years, almost a decade, really, after I saw it. And before then, it was mostly just ghost stories. I'm sure the barkeep told you that You know, sometimes the shutters rattle at night. Sometimes we can hear it wailing. But even in its most, shall we say, amicable of times, those shutter rattling, wailing nights would only happen once a month.
Hmm.
How long ago did you see this thing?
Myself, I saw it 10 and some years ago.
And your brother?
Just about a month back, I'd wager.
So he's due back for another visit.
Looks like we showed up just in time.
So it
and
seems
was it both
like
at night when your brother and you saw it?
Well, we both saw it out in the woods towards the evening, but it only comes into the village at night.
Hmm. Sorry, Roll, I didn't mean to interrupt you again.
No. I'm just saying that maybe instead of staying in the inn, we kind of move. We stay in outside in the middle of town.
I don't like that idea.
Could always go camp in the woods.
Well, there's no real guarantee it's going to show up tonight.
True, but I mean, and don't we want to be...
After our excursion last night, I think sleeping inside sounds like a really nice idea.
Well, yeah, but we do have a somewhat of a wall around us.
We all need to get some rest, and I and myself both have some extent of sensory capabilities. We can keep watch taking shifts while everybody gets some rest. We accomplish both objectives in one.
Absolutely.
And
okay.
As it is, but I'd like a, you know, warm bed for the night. Or at least a warm chair.
How active are the people here at night?
Yeah, no reason to be active at night. It's a fool's errand to cut timber in the dark and, well, one wrong step, you can break a leg or worse. The wolves might get you, the four-legged kind.
I nod and just hold on.
Okay, out of character. Guys, I can make some skeletons to patrol.
Let's not scare the locals with your,
Oh no, please raise the undead within the small hick village. Let them see that poking their eyes around the shutters.
Well, it would clear his name as the crazy village crazy person.
Right?
We'll go hunt some bears and put some bear skin on my skeletons. Credibility right there.
Oh, we are trotting down a very dangerous path right now, guys.
Is there anything else that you think we should know, friend?
He pauses and thinks for a moment and then starts scribbling a few things down in the notebook, journal, whatever you want to call it.
Journal book.
Whatever it is.
Nodal.
Have you talked to the others in town?
Not yet. You were the first person we came to after we stopped in the bar.
He kind of smiles in that way that says, "Aw, I'm touched."
Oh, sweet boy.
Wait, which others? We only came to you because we mentioned that we saw your brother earlier in the previous town.
You're not the first person I've talked to this week.
Who else has come through here?
Just a day or two ago, a lady came by asking similar questions to the lot of you, though. She didn't seem to have known my brother. But I believe she may be out in the woods doing her own hunting. But if you see her around town, you won't be able to miss her.
Sticks she out as a sore thumb.
About as much as we do, I'm guessing.
Damn near the most beautiful woman I've ever seen.
Can you draw us a picture of her?
He pulls out a carving.
Okay.
I was about to say the same thing.
This man has a lot of time on his hands if he got this woman in 2 days.
Well, I mean, yeah, he does.
He literally just asked us what else is he going to do.
Is
basically.
So I, you know, take note and lock her into the memory. Okay.
I'm gonna take the carving and say, I'll go out looking for the woman. You guys ask questions more around the town.
Ask permission before taking his carving.
Do you mind if I use this? I look at the guy.
I'd rather keep that. It brightens the place up a bit.
I'll stare at it super intently for like 5 seconds.
You can tell just by looking at the carving that you will recognize the individual who it is a carving of probably at a distance. She is an exceptionally beautiful woman. She has very intricately braided hair that he has managed to carve into detail into the sculpture. Very ornate, flowing sort of robes. They have very high side leg slits for mobility's sake.
And you said she was out hunting, right?
Can I, in character, walk over, take the carving out of his hand, put his, like, lift his lower jaw back up and tell him to stop drooling?
Well, you'd have to reach under the helmet.
Me?
It's gonna rust.
You're gonna rust, my friend.
You hear a ping from underneath the table when he's sitting at
you.
The tiniest of dinks.
Oh. I'll go. That hurt.
Episode 3 title.
I'll go search for the woman. You guys keep asking around town.
Is there anything that we can get you? I ask of.
Wouldn't happen to have a spare tongue, would you?
Actually.
I read that and I look over at Calabres. Maybe?
He arches an eyebrow quite high at that. Never mind.
I was going to say, how fresh do you want it?
How do you mind if it's used?
Legit.
All right. Thank you so much. We're probably going to be in town for a couple of days, and if you see us around, don't be a stranger. We won't be to you either.
I'd much appreciate that. Thank you.
No problem.
Is it all right if we come back to visit another time?
Yeah.
If you maybe can think of better... anything else you want to know about, you're more than welcome.
Maybe under better circumstances. Maybe we can put your mind at ease.
Well, you're not obligated to, but I certainly wouldn't turn away the company. The chickens ain't much a conversationalist.
Chickens don't talk.
I disagree.
Not all chickens.
Hashtag not all chickens.
By the way, that's my literal mind in.
You get punched in the face by one chicken man, and you learn chickens can talk.
Cocky son of a bitch.
God.
I got it. It was good. I can't even
imagine that one. Not squawk.
All right. I'm ready to leave personally.
Yeah. As we leave, I'll pull Kai aside just a little bit. I'd like a nap before we begin our stakeout. Do you think you can manage babysitting them for a couple hours, or should I stay awake too?
I think between myself and Calabras, we should be...
Calabras is already gone.
I think I can handle those two. One's pretty easy. I just shove a bottle in his mouth. He's like a newborn babe. And Amy, I know ways of entertaining.
Come and wake me if you need backup.
Absolutely. I think I have it, though. And feel free to rest as long as you wish. Tonight, I think I will play guard dog.
Good boy. Best friend.
Don't forget to get some rest yourself, though. We will need your skills if something happens.
I don't rest much, but I understand and I appreciate it.
All right. Time to take a bear nap.
Hey, he's going to do that. It's going to be even easier to babysit him.
Hibernation.
Hibernation?
Hibernation.
Hibernation. We're converting Felix.
No, you can ask her. Well, I do the puns all the time. The thing I hate here is how fast you guys are. That's what makes me angry.
It's just unbearable.
I wish I was that fast.
You don't pause enough for you?
He's got pun envy.
Yeah, it's pun envy.
Yeah, I mean, we come up with some pretty horrible puns. It's just that...
You mean heart bearable?
But I've been known to make our roommate want to jump out of a moving vehicle with my pun on slots.
It happens every time we pass the egg restaurant.
I bet you make him furious.
Yeah. Well, the fact that that name itself is a pun, by the way, I can never eat at that place. I'm pretty sure of it. Like, but that's beside the point. you can't not help make more puns at Spectacular.
Right.
Anyways, are we with the conversation between Team Dad and Team Mom?
Right.
Are we?
I think that's unless the DM wants to do anything else, I think we will see you guys.
I mean, I can keep expositioning all you guys want, you know, however much investigation you want to do right now, you are more than welcome to do.
Should probably let your wife, your lady get some sleep.
Maybe.
Pulling back the curtain a little bit, you guys, we record late on Saturday night, so...
Yeah, and I've been up since 7:40 in the morning.
So yeah, I think we'll see you guys next time. If you want to support the network, make sure you tune in. Go to patreon.com/geekio to help everything that we do on the Geek.io network. For myself, for Josh, for the rest of the crew, thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
This has been a Geek.io Media Network production. Copyright 2017.